Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, January 5th, 2018. We have about 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a gale warning beginning at 10 a.m., lasting until 10 p.m. today for our coastal waters from Cape Shoalwater, Washington to Cascade Head, Oregon. So all along in our listening area here, it's going to be kind of rocking and rolling out there. Southeast winds today, 10 to 20 knots, becoming south 25 to 30 knots, gusting to 40 this afternoon, and that's a lot. Combined seas 7 to 9 feet, building to 11 to 15 feet this afternoon, and rain is in the forecast. I was out walking the other day when it was raining and blowing like mad, and I had trouble standing up in winds that were less than 40 knots. I'm sure it wasn't there, but it was gusting along the hill there on the south slope, and boy, that 40 knots of wind is nothing to sneeze at out there, especially out there on the water where it can really get up a head of steam as it's blowing across that open water with no obstructions in its way. So we'll talk about that, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about wind. We've been talking about wind and waves, especially this week on the Ship Report. And I want to talk with you a little more about the Beaufort Wind Scale, which I just think is a really cool thing and an actively used thing among mariners these days, even though it was created in 1805. But first, let's take a look at today's Columbia River ship schedule. We have 2 inbounders, we have 7 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Aeneas. She's arriving from China, headed for Astoria's Anchorage. She's going to be picking up wheat. She'll arrive in the Anchorage at about 6:30 a.m. The Overseas Los Angeles is arriving from Richmond, headed for Portland. She's her cargo is refined petroleum, something like gasoline, jet fuel, maybe biodiesel, something like that. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 a.m. You'll see her in Portland around 1:30 p.m. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Martine, headed for Longview to pick up wheat at about 10:30 p.m. So all these ships are leaving, the ones that are leaving from the Anchorage today are leaving fairly late in the evening. So she'll be in Longview by about 2 a.m. Around the same time, the Global Saikai will head for Longview to pick up logs. She'll leave around 10:30, get there around 2 a.m. So they won't leave simultaneously. Ships try to keep a couple of miles between vessels on the river, so they have a lot of wiggle room in case something goes wrong. And, you know, the something that goes wrong is doesn't happen very often, but, you know, every once in a while you'll hear about a ship running aground. Usually what it is some kind of engine failure. Sometimes the engine's just cut out, and restarting an engine on a complicated diesel system like on a ship is not a matter of just turning the key like you would in a car. You have to go through a fairly lengthy process. So sometimes when a ship loses engine power, it's just going to keep going straight, and they lose the ability to steer it. So on the windy Columbia, when a ship loses propulsion like that, it just keeps going in a straight line. Usually that will take it along a tangent of a curve, and boom, the ship runs aground, usually only lightly, and can float off with the next high tide. So that's usually when you do occasionally hear of ships running aground, that is often the cause. So that's one reason why ships keep a lot of distance between one another, so that they have room to maneuver, because they don't have brakes, as I've talked about many times. And so everybody has to be thinking way ahead. It's like a chess game, in a sense, of what could happen, what might happen, and what are you going to do about it. And in that case, throw out a couple of anchors is probably the thing that I've heard people tell me that they would do. Pilots have said, well, you just throw out anchors and try to stop the ship before something catastrophic happens. And catastrophes are very, very rare in our maritime waters here. The Prabhu Mikai is next in the Astoria Anchorage. She's heading up river to Vancouver to pick up wheat. Departing around 11:30 a.m., you might see her in Vancouver by about 5:30 p.m. today. That leaves the Medi Zuaz, the Bluefin, the Semtex Pioneer, and the Graeca Universalis awaiting orders. They'll eventually head upriver to pick up their own cargoes. And then we'll see them heading downriver and out to sea like these outbounders that we have today. The ATB Sound Reliance, the articulated tug and barge rig, she's a Crowley-owned vessel, an American-flagged vessel. She's carrying refined petroleum, leaving around 2 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 a.m. Generally, these vessels are bringing petroleum in. I'm not sure if they're delivering all of it here or delivering part of their cargo here and then heading somewhere else. But usually it's that gasoline, jet fuel kind of thing. The Cable Innovator is leaving the shipyard in Portland around 8 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. She's kind of an unusual-looking vessel because she is a cable-laying ship. And I looked her up, and she's one source I found called her the largest cable-laying ship of its kind. So she's going to be big. She'll be going by. I think she has kind of a gray hull, but an unusual-looking ship, doesn't look like a cargo ship. She's very high-tech, can hover over a spot on the ocean floor while they're laying telecommunications cable way, way, way down deep in the ocean. So quite high-tech and very knowledgeable crew on board. The Pabour is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat around 9:30 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 3:30 p.m. The Harvest Leader is leaving Portland carrying Hondas around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The Global Symphony is leaving Longview carrying logs at about 3:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. The Navios Harmony is leaving Kalama carrying corn, soy, or wheat, leaving around 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. And the VSC Castor is leaving Portland carrying wheat at about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. Well, this brings us to the Beaufort Wind Scale. I have a couple minutes left here to talk to you about that. This is that scale that was created in the early 1800s by Sir Francis Beaufort. He was with the UK Royal Navy. And he looked around and thought, we need some kind of a system to help us understand how intense the weather is out there. And all they really had was visual cues. So he created the Beaufort Wind Scale, which goes from 0 to 12. Force 0 through force 12, to sort of categorize the strength of the wind by the conditions you can see around you. So 0, for instance, is a dead calm. The sea surface is smooth, in mirror-like is what it says here. Smoke rises vertically from smokestacks. And we don't see too much mirror-like activity out on the Columbia because the Columbia is always in motion. But if you look at some of the kind of backwater areas here, the sloughs and other things driving around, on a really calm day, you can see a mirror-like reflection of calm conditions on that water. So force 1 is a light air, 1 to 3 knots of wind. Scaly ripples, no foam crests, the kind of thing you might be able to do if you blew across the top of your cup of coffee or you got down on your hands and knees and blew across the top of a puddle. You could create those ripples. But as we say, with ripples, they are not strong enough. The wind is not strong enough to overcome the surface tension of the water. And so those die away really quickly once the wind goes away. When you get to force 2, you have a light breeze, small wavelets, crests, glassy, but no breaking waves yet. When you get up to 7 to 10 knots, force 3, you have large wavelets, crests beginning to break. It's breaking that surface tension of the water, and more energy is being poured into the waves, and they're starting to become a little more independent of the wind. As you head up into force 4, 5, and 6, you get into moderate breeze, fresh breeze, strong breeze. When you get up to force 8, which is kind of what we're looking at today, you're in gale conditions. So what might you see if you went out to the ocean today and stood on the beach? Well, you might see moderately high waves, 18 to 25 feet out in the ocean, edges of crests beginning to break into what's called spindrift. I love that word, where the tops of the waves blow off into foamy streaks. So on land, twigs can break off trees. Generally, you'll see lots of little trees and leaves on the ground. That's gale force conditions. Now, we have winds gusting to gale force conditions today, so they're not blowing continuously at gale force winds. But, you know, out on the ocean, when that open ocean, when I mentioned fetch yesterday, where the wind can blow for hundreds of miles off that fetch, that across that distance, that fetch, for many, many miles, the wind can build up some pretty serious waves out there. And the further you go offshore, the larger the waves tend to be, except when you're in that surf zone where the waves are coming in from deep water and all of a sudden slamming into the shallow area where all the energy piles up into higher waves. So it's just really interesting to see, you know, if you were able to go to the seashore today and look out there, you know, later in the day after the wind's been blowing for a while, those waves will probably be higher than they were this morning when things started to ramp up. So the highest section of the Beaufort wind scale is force 12. That's hurricane winds. You don't want to be out in those. Waves over 45 feet, air filled with foam. Visibility greatly reduced. It sounds like the kind of thing you should just hear about on the Ship Report and not experience for yourself at all. You've been listening to the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Stay safe if you go to the beach, and have a wonderful weekend.